Hi, I'm Jacqueline Schiff with the Kaiser Daily Global Health Policy Report. Last week, the State Department unveiled its first Quadrennial Diplomacy and Development Review, or QDDR, which recommends how to improve the efficacy of USAID and the State Department. To explore the implications of the QDDR for global health, I'm talking to Jennifer Cates, Vice President and Director of Global Health Policy and HIV at the Kaiser Family Foundation. Jen, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So let's begin. After a lot of waiting, the QDDR is finally out. What are the key recommendations that will impact U.S. global health policy?
Yes. Yeah, so after a lot of waiting, it came out last week. I think the main thing to remember is that it really is calling for an overall new way of doing business in the government. And so how USAID and state adapt and change in response to the QDDR will affect global health. But beyond that, there are some specific things in the QDDR about global health that will affect the global health programs and policies and the way in which our work in the world is structured. Key among them is the transition over time of the Obama administration's Global Health Initiative, the GHI, to USAID, so that at the end of fiscal year 12, assuming that USAID meets some defined benchmarks, USAID will assume leadership of the GHI. And also on GHI leadership, the QDDR says that there will be an executive director of the GHI named, and that's a new development that has not been stated in the past. That person will be appointed by the secretary to report to the secretary and to the GHI Operations Committee, and they will be charged with facilitating the coordination as well as the transition to USAID. And then finally, just one thing that I think comes through in the QDDR, the QDDR talks about six specific areas of diplomacy and development. And one of those areas is global health. So it really puts global health up there as an important part of what we do in the world in both our diplomatic and development efforts.
And that's actually a great point to lead off to the next question I have for you. A central component of the QDDR and Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's approach is that diplomacy and development must be, she says, mutually reinforcing. What's a practical example of how this might work?
Yes, the QDDR and many things that have been stated by the Secretary before the QDDR talk about the twin pillars of diplomacy and development, and that the two cannot be approached as separate efforts, that there's diplomats that are often doing development and development staff that are doing diplomacy. So we have to rethink how those things happen. Some examples that are laid out in the QDDR that could illustrate this. One is the empowerment of the chief of mission in a country to be the sort of the CEO of U.S. in-country efforts coordinating across all agencies. And in the USAID mission director will act as the primary development advisor to this chief of mission. So that's one example. The other, as talked about in the QDDR, is joint training between state and USAID and communications, rotations, so a way to bring them together in practice. And then finally, it talks about the increased role of USAID in its budget formulation, which has not always been there in the past. So all of these things are, I would say, concrete examples of how at least it's been laid out to change the way we look at these things.
And just going back to a point you made earlier, I'd love you to expand on. The report calls for USAID to assume the leadership, as you said, of the Global Health Initiative and also, my understanding is, the Global Hunger and Food Security Initiative. What are some of the advantages and challenges of having USAID leading these efforts?
I think some of the advantages, one, it sends a signal from the administration. It has been saying for a while that it wanted to elevate and strengthen USAID. And I think this is a clear example of saying, yes, USAID can do this. With the Global Hunger and Food Security Initiative, it's immediate or pretty close to immediate. With the Global Health Initiative, it's over time. And USAID staff and employees are often at the front lines anyway. And other than PEPFAR, the OGEC, and the HIV/AIDS program that's based at state, most of the global health portfolio in terms of funding is at USAID and programs. So that makes sense. And I should say one thing that kind of segues into disadvantages or challenges. sort of an overall challenge is, will there be capacity at USAID to do this? One of the challenges that USAID has experienced over the last couple decades has been sort of a decrease in staffing levels, a loss of some technical expertise internally, which is why contractors have become so prominent. So how can this be addressed, and how will this transition work? And then secondly is one on coordination. While it's true that USAID does currently oversee most of the global health portfolio, it doesn't oversee OGAC and it doesn't oversee PEPFAR, and that will actually remain the case. It states very clearly in the QDDR that OGAC and PEPFAR will stay at the State Department. And so it just raises a question about coordination and how that gets carried out. Now, certainly PEPFAR is seen as a model for how a lot of the GHI will hopefully be structured going forward. So
the QDDR aims to lessen USAID's reliance on contractors, as you were just saying, suggesting that the agency draw in personnel from other parts of the U.S. government before turning to contractors. What effect, if any, do you see this having on the implementation of U.S. government global health programs?
Well, I think it's a welcome change that the community has been talking about. One of the advantages it leads to is increased oversight within the government of its own programs. And there's a tremendous wealth of expertise throughout the government as well, not just at USAID but at other agencies. So it allows that expertise to be reached and tapped into more extensively. And I think, you know, what the QDR is trying to convey is that we have to have a unified foreign policy. And so that is another way of doing that. I think there's some challenges. One I mentioned earlier is the capacity to do this as it transitions. Part of the reason we do have such a heavy reliance on contractors by our government is the lack of capacity. And those relationships have built up over time. There's an infrastructure there. And so it's not as simple to say we're changing that overnight. And then secondly is how agencies will work together. There's already been precedent in doing that with the GHI and how the GHI has been structured, and that will need to continue, but I think it remains to be seen how it will play out over time.
Before we let you go, any final thoughts reflecting on the QDDR?
Yeah, I have one final thought or something that's important to note that's been stated in many different policy statements and programs by the State Department and other parts of the USG, and it comes out pretty clearly in the QDDR, is the emphasis on empowering women and girls throughout our development and diplomacy work as part of the GHI, but beyond the GHI throughout all of these programs. And I think that's a strong message that's sent as part of the QDDR as well.
Great. Thanks for joining us, Jen.
Thank you.